Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser, as every day, Monday through Friday, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there, and we do that every day together, and we are back at it again today. By the way, I want to front load this here at the top of the hour. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to join in the conversation. This first hour, it's going to be exactly that, a conversation, you and I together, about some ideas and issues in Tucson that have come across my radar the last couple of days that I wanted to talk to you about. You know, it's fun on this program. I get a lot of things across my desk, and more times than you know, I will go, hey, I wonder what the listening audience would think about that, and have a conversation about it. Excuse me, that was a sneeze. Gesundheit. You know, I think that I think they have the kill switch turned off on purpose just for levity on the program. So when those sneezes come, it's a raw and authentic moment. Tucson, we're back talking about some things here in Tucson with you that are interesting to talk about. And I always like to get your feedback in real time. Again, a lot of people will say, well, you know, Zach, you know, the show becomes a podcast. Why don't you just do that? You know, what's your passion for live local radio? And it's exactly this, that it creates real-time conversation that we can hear about an issue at 8 o'clock, talk about it at 10 o'clock or whenever in the morning. I just picked a random time. Hear, talk about it at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock and have real-time feedback. That's why I do what I do. So when I say 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to involve in a conversation, I really mean it. This show would not be the same, nor would I want to do it in the same way without you on board, 790-2040. Let me set the show up today and we'll get going. In the 11 o'clock hour, I'll work backwards. Tony Ford, the man, the myth, the legend, comes on the program again. And he said, you know, Zach, what do you want to talk about? And I said, well, you know, I'd love to talk about what's behind our tech workforce boom, right? In the last 5 years, we've seen a 90% increase in our tech workforce, up to 15,000 individuals. This was the recent CBRE report about Tucson being a top place for our growing place for talent. I said, Tony, do you have any insight on what is behind that jump? He says, I got something for you. So we'll talk about that. And then I turned it back on Tony. I said, Tony, what's on your radar that we should be talking about? I said, you're one of those guests where I ask you what we need to be talking about. And he said, I want to talk about tech and agriculture. I want to talk about why we should incentivize, tax incentivize software companies in Tucson, and why your idea, anyone's idea, is worth almost nothing. And so I said, verbatim, Tony, you got it. We're gonna talk about those things. So we'll spend the 11 o'clock hour with Tony, Tony Ford. Tony Ford was a part of the innovation and entrepreneurship ecosystem in Tucson before there was a renaissance of that in the last 10 years. He was one of the guys on the front lines that I think has produced a lot of what we see today. So I'm looking forward to having him on. But in hour one, here's what I want to talk to you about, Tucson. I want to talk about what I'm seeing around the country, and I'm calling it Bring Them Home, why the return of the Tucson diaspora is vital to our success. We talk a lot about how do we retain talented people, right? And notice that I said a skilled, talented workforce. I did not put an age on that because between 2012 and 2017, hear me on this, we lost a net migration of a pretty huge chunk of young professionals, 25 to 34. There's a scarier number out there. Net migration from the entire metro area, right? So this is not gross numbers. This is the difference between who came and who left. Tucson lost 13,000 individuals between 45 and 54. So when I'm talking about a workforce, I'm not just talking, young people from the U of A. I'm talking about a lot of our mid and senior level executives decided to take off between 2012 and 2017. If we look around the country, bringing them home, offering opportunities for them to come home and bring their skill and expertise home. I'll give you the Detroit example. It is really important. It's a piece of the fabric that we have to talk about. And then I also want to talk about something that's been put on my radar within the last 24 hours again, not for the first time, but again. And that is hashtag CA Struggles. Hashtag California Struggles. It's a initiative out of the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, GPEC, to brand Phoenix as a place to come to if you're sick and tired of California. And it's a really cheeky hashtag. It's a city branding mechanism to create some buzz and to highlight Phoenix and to get people to come to Phoenix. And so that, for me, topic is city branding for a change. City branding for a change. And just to brainstorm and have fun maybe with you of what would be a fun slash serious Tucson hashtag. Nothing cynical. Let's not go there, right? But what would be if we were to hashtag something Tucson to say, hey, we're a place you want to come, or a place that you want to be. Just curious to have that conversation with you. And then Tim Steller just put an article out about annexation. And I want to talk to you about that as well, because what he wrote in this particular article reflects a lot of what I've been saying on the air with you, Tucson, over the last year. So I'm looking forward to talking about that a little bit. 790-2040. I'm going to start this first piece, then we'll go to a break and we'll get into it in the next segment. But I came across this article the other day called Young People's Fascination with Motor City is Only a Part of Detroit's Revitalization. Now, this article is from 2012. Right around that time, there was an effort growing to kind of create a renaissance in Detroit. And I talk about Detroit quite a bit, not because I compare Tucson to Detroit, although I know many do. Many people say that Tucson is the Detroit in the desert. I think that's cute. I don't necessarily agree. But Detroit, a few years ago, began a renaissance effort. And this article talks about the resurgence of young people investing their time and energy and lifestyle back into Detroit. And imagine Tucson, downtown a few years ago. And this was really kind of what Detroit was like in a way. Now, there was some serious blight outside, kind of in the kind of exurbs, if you will, not the suburbs, not the urban core, but kind of in between. And not the blight we talk about in Tucson, right? Tucson uses the word blight. We don't even know what that means 100%, I think, in our city, like you have some true blight in Detroit. It was an $800 million, it's with an M. I can back that number up, $800 million effort being proposed in the city a few years ago to tackle the major blight issue, homes that had not been inhabited, home after home after home after home along the street for decades. So that's what we were talking about. So they're seeing young people come back in. The burst of youthful energy, even in the face of the city's continuing economic and social woes, debunks widespread opinion that nothing can be done to jumpstart the Motor City. Sound familiar? While a new, more positive narrative about Detroit is welcome, there are problems in focusing entirely on idealistic young adventurers swooping in to save the city. So that's one side of the coin. Let me scroll down here before we go to break. For many of them, it was a long-awaited homecoming, which shows that continued loyalty from the Detroit diaspora is a hidden asset in the city's favor. We always followed, says one, what was happening in Detroit. Notice that the urban planning world was paying a lot of attention. Life in Los Angeles was coming to feel very stressful in terms of time, distance, and money. And this is what we'll talk about in the next segment, that there was a program, a Wayne State project financially supported by different foundations, aimed at placing fellows at organizations identified as being actively engaged in building the Detroit of tomorrow. And so there began to be a campaign to place some of this diaspora, bring them back into key areas of the city strategically, and to re-engage the diaspora. So much more on that in the next segment. Before we go to break, let's get to our phone lines. We have Doug on the line. Doug, thanks for calling in to our live line. What's on your mind?
Hey, Zach, you're exactly right about what's happened in Detroit with younger people coming in, but they have a problem, and it was on the news yesterday about law enforcement. So they don't have as many police as they had, like, back in even 2002. I think they're down by a third, similar to what's happened in Tucson. And if they don't get a handle on that, the safety issue will keep people from coming back in. Or if people come back in and they're getting robbed and burglarized and things like that, it's going to drive them out. So they've got an issue there. I don't know how they're going to handle it because they don't have the money, much like the city of Tucson, to hire the officers they really need. So that is a factor that has to be considered.
Doug, I appreciate that call. I was really excited to talk to a 28-year-old caller the other day on this show who said, you know, Zach, we talk about a lot of these big ideas in cities, and it's often kind of the elder statesman, stateswomen group in the community. And he said, I often get sold what I'm not looking to buy. He goes, just give me good roads and good public safety, cops on the road, and good parks, and you got me here, and the rest will follow. And I said to this guy, you got it. This is what millennials across the country are saying. They're actually telling cities exactly what you are, Doug, and that is get the basics right, and the rest will come.
Well, and if you look at downtown Tucson, it has very low crime. I mean, the only crime they really have down there is nuisance crimes. But, you know, and so the young people that are moving to downtown, I think they're going to be in good shape. But the rest of the city of Tucson, I mean, when you look at response rates, I think there was an article the other day that talked about, you know, if it's not a, you know, violent crime or, you know, a gun-involved crime, you could be waiting hours for somebody to get there to look at your situation. I mean, they got to get a handle on that if they want the whole community to grow, if we want Tucson to really prosper. So I appreciate it, Zach.
Thanks, Doug. Likewise. And I agree. Great call from Doug there. I appreciate it. I think that there's often, you know, it's kind of fun. Christy Simone and I on Wake Up Tucson have a little bit of a Wolverine and Spider-Man type of interaction going, and it's a lot of fun. We appreciate each other, I think, in some unique ways, and I think that it's often fun to discover that while we approach issues in different ways, there's a lot of agreement in this, and that is take care of basics. I'm going to talk about this when I talk a little bit about the annexation article related to the mayor's race that Tim Steller wrote. I'm going to do that probably at the end of the hour. But until we can cover our current geography substantial, sufficient way, until we get our basics right, as Chris would say, and I stole this from him, and I will give him credit every time and all the time, you have a lot of sprinkles and toppings, but you don't have the ice cream in the cone. More than we know, when we survey young professionals, we'll say for now 25 to 34, they're more on this page than anybody realizes. A quality of life doesn't just mean, you know, a great destination of a downtown or, you know, good bars or cheap avocados, right? It is a quality of life built around the basics, right? The stuff our city charter is built around. We get that right, the rest will follow. So I appreciated Doug's call about public safety in Detroit. I've been tracking Detroit for a bit now, but always stuff that I don't know or current news that I need to know about. So I appreciate it. 790-2040 is the number you can call to tune in and engage this conversation. I'm going to talk about the one of Detroit's strategies to engage their diaspora, people who left, who are now inspired to come home. How communities bring them home is key to renaissance and renewal. We'll get into detail about that after the break. Then we'll talk about city branding for a change. Hashtag California struggles. What could we do in Tucson? Funny hashtag. And then annexation. And I'll close our 10 o'clock hour out as we head towards Tony Ford, an entrepreneur and innovator that has been part of Tucson in the last 10, 15 years before Tucson began to have its own renaissance. We'll be right back, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Tucson, welcome back to the program. Hour one here on the Creative City Show. We talk about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. We're talking about how to engage young professionals in and back in the Tucson community, why the return of the Tucson diaspora is vital to our success. Hashtag CA, California Struggles, a Phoenix-based city branding effort. I talk about city branding for a change. And then we'll talk a little bit about annexation. On my way here, in fact, as it often happens, I ran across an article written by Timothy Steller over at The Star about annexation. And for better or for worse, a lot of what he has been saying about the topic, I've been saying on the air, and it's one of the issues that I'm really bullish on, and thinking that we get ahead of ourselves, and maybe that's why the effort has not been successful for the last many decades. It's a politically appeasing or appealing, I guess, idea, but not applicable right now in some ways for us, and I argue that. I'll get into that at the end here. But I left off before the break talking about this program that I found out about in Detroit called the Community Development Advocates of Detroit. Actually, it's called the Detroit Revitalization Fellows Program, DRFP. And this Detroit Revitalization Fellows Program selected back in 2012, 29 fellows with development backgrounds, urban planning, economic development, finance, real estate, and related fields. And a lot of the buzz around the program was focused on those who were relocating from New York, Seattle, the Bay Area, Washington, D.C., Montreal, Chicago, L.A., to name a few, to come to Detroit. But in fact, 10 of those 29 were already living in Detroit when they were selected to be fellows in this program, and 9 others had grown up in the area or previously lived in the city. So you have this program that places fellows at organizations identified as being actively engaged in building the Detroit of tomorrow and brings resources to bear. And the goal is that these fellows, as they come back, as they're placed into this work, will make a long-term commitment to help the city get to its next, rather than just sampling Detroit and moving on to somewhere else. It's interesting that this program was actually in New Orleans after Katrina. So when you have a difficult season in a community, whether it's Israel, right? If we go back maybe a half century, whether it's New Orleans, whether it's Detroit, whether it's maybe Tucson, these programs that not just attract but also support and bring back those who either are in or grew up in these places is really important. And so I was reading through this article, and it got me thinking that there are some efforts in Tucson that I can think of, even in micro ways, that encourage people to stay here. Like, it's, for example, there's a program where if you're at the U of A and you have an innovative or entrepreneurial idea, that there is some, I mean, I'm talking super micro. This is nothing wide scale. This is maybe one or two disbursements a year where they help encourage those students to stay here and provide resources for those who are going to stay here. We certainly have efforts to attract new young professionals. It's yet to be seen if that will be successful. But I don't know as many efforts strategically to say, look, we had a lot of young people between 2012 and 2017 leave. They're our diaspora, right? Like the Detroit diaspora. This is our diaspora. What are we doing to say, come back to Tucson, right? You spent 10 years in D.C. You've spent some years in Austin or Portland, in Atlanta, in Charlotte, whatever the case may be. Come back to Tucson. And not just, you know, edgy campaigns or bright landscape shots or things like this, but actual strategic, intentional programs to work with, like New Orleans did, like Detroit did, with cohorts of young fellows who are being strategically supported and strategically placed in key areas of need in our community, with the goal of bringing resources and networks around them to say, don't just come here for a year, come back for a year. Don't just sample the Tucson scene, right? Just don't eat your 20 tacos and leave. But stay here over the long haul. Stay here. Come back here and stay here. As a quick reminder, in this Detroit example, there was about 30 applicants who were accepted as the fellow into this program called the Detroit Revitalization Fellows Program. Basically, a third were coming from other cities, a third were already in Detroit, and a third were the diaspora that was brought back in. I wonder if Tucson thought about its diaspora. Again, if young professionals are your thing and you want a young workforce to come back, you know you got me every day on that. This is my jam. This is what I do when I'm not under the headphones in the studio. But there's also a massive workforce between 45 and 54 that left Tucson. So how do we re-engage that diaspora, right? These are mid to senior level executives who went somewhere else. They took their money with them. They took their skills with them. They left the community. What would it look like to strategically say, come back? The time is now for you to be a part of the next phase of Tucson's story. We want you to be a part of it. And there's models in other cities to do that. And so that's why I kind of themed this segment, Bring Them Home. Why the return of the Tucson diaspora is vital to our success. Just broadly, I think this is one of the things that I've been really impressed with even Israel from a community standpoint. And I would also say Palestine as well. When you look at that region, those, for various reasons, that region has, for good reasons, become really intentional about re-engaging the diaspora, about keeping young people there, but also re-engaging those who have left. And there's a strategy behind it, right? These things don't happen by accident, I'm convinced. There has to be intentionality. So what would a Tucson Fellows program look like? I know it's Wednesday, it's not what if day, right? That's usually on Tuesday, but yesterday was Tucson's birthday, 244 years. Happy belated birthday, Tucson. So we took the time to do that. So maybe this is a little bit of a shift. How do we become strategic about those three pots of people, right? Those three buckets of people. New folks coming in, folks who already live here, folks who used to live here, and bring them back. Just a thought. Let's go to our next break. When we come back, we'll talk about city branding, a really cheeky, funny way that a group up in Phoenix is doing that to attract people and businesses from California. And it got me thinking, what would that look like for us here in Tucson? Fun stuff. 790-2040 is your opportunity to tune in, call in, be a part of this conversation. It all continues after the break. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back to the show. We're talking about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future, as we always do. We're getting ready for Tony Ford in hour two of the show to tell us what's behind our tech workforce boom. Talk about tech in agriculture. He mentioned this one to me, and I was like, I'm intrigued. That's all he gave me, was tech in agriculture. Why we should tax incentivize software companies in Tucson. I said, Tony, that one's going to be get a lot of interest. He goes, great, let's do it. Why your idea, anyone's, is worth almost nothing. He called my ideas meaningless and worthless, and yours too. But he'll tell us why, and I'm looking forward to that. But we are partway through our first hour And this is a conversation together, Tucson, 790-2040. I talked about earlier in the program why we need to start thinking about who we want to bring into Tucson in three special buckets, for lack of better words, better terms. And I look at other cities around the country that have gone from a season of hardship and difficulty and have begun to turn the ship around. What have they done and what can we learn? It's not all going to work in Tucson, nor should it. But what are some best practices that we can learn? Now, I was looking at the Detroit story, and they put a revitalization fellows program, is what they called it, together. And the participants in this come from three distinct groups. They place fellows in key projects and organizations that are a part of the Detroit Renaissance. A third of those fellows are from other, often bigger, I'm air quoting in the studio, more thriving communities that want to be a part of the Detroit story. A third come from that, right? They weren't from Detroit. They weren't born in Detroit. They aren't already in Detroit, but they want to be a part of Detroit. That's one third. The second third was folks who grew up in Detroit and left for obvious reasons and then came back. And the third bucket of fellows, right, about a third, third, and a third, were those who were already living in Detroit or in the metro and wanted to be a part of something more intentional in terms of bolstering the city's future. And so I talked about that and how that might apply in Tucson, how we need to think about our diaspora, those who used to call Tucson home and no longer do, why bringing them home is a piece of this puzzle that we have to be considering that I don't hear talked about too much. 790-2040, give me a call if you have a thought on that. Now I want to talk about this kind of fun, cheeky idea, but it's actually serious because I think Tucson could get in on the action a little bit if we're thoughtful about it. And I'm calling this segment City Branding for a Change. And I was reminded yesterday, and I've seen it out and about, Carol Stewart, our Canadian friend here on the show, the Associate Vice President of Tech Parks Arizona, I said that in my show with her on Monday. I said, when I'm out and about, and she said, that's such a Canadian term. And I went, well, maybe I'm Canadian for this hour. We had a good time together. She said it a little bit differently. And I actually gave her a hard time on the show. I said, yeah, but you say it differently. And she goes, no, it all sounds the same to me. And I go, no, it's... Oh, Carol Stewart, one of our best in Tucson. Love her to death. Appreciate what she does in our innovation ecosystem. We have a good time together on the program. When I'm out and about, I've heard about this initiative out of Phoenix. It really started in June. The Greater Phoenix Economic Council, GPEC, if you've heard it that way before, launched a marketing campaign called hashtag CA Struggles or hashtag California Struggles. And there's a picture of, they splash this thing on the side of a car, right? They'll drive to California and they'll drive around in this car that says hashtag California Struggles are real. And their website is timetogetout.io. time to get out. And if you go to that, it's a website, timetogetout.io. It takes you to this page that talks about the difference between California and Phoenix. But we've got good news. And they talk about cost of living differences. They talk about economic differences. They talk about traffic differences. The goal is to help companies and individuals, give them a little push to consider a move to Phoenix in a non-traditional way. It's also interactive, again, if you go to that website. But it's things like this. If you go to their Twitter page, it's actually really entertaining. Rent that's less than $1,000, hashtag California Struggles, right? I scroll down here and... they talk about traffic. So, for example, I wish you could see the meme. It's kind of hard to explain it. But there's this guy walking. Have you seen this on Facebook? This guy walking down a street with his girlfriend, and a pretty girl walks by, And he starts to give that girl a look, and his girlfriend's looking at him like, you're crazy, what are you doing? That's the best way I can explain this without being for people being able to see it. And it's funny because the pretty girl walking down the street is spending half my paycheck on rent to live in the Bay. and the girlfriend looking at him like, I'm the best thing that's ever happened to you. What's your problem? Is affordable housing in a different city. And hashtag California struggles. Let's see a couple of more just to give you a hint. Imagine all the phone calls you could make sitting in that traffic on your way home. Hashtag California struggles. There was another one. I'm not finding it, but I saw it yesterday where it was like where the best parking lot is the, you know, is the I-5 or something like that, you know, because you hit that thing. Someone was telling me the really bad one. I can't remember it. There's so many of those freeways and highways in California, but you hit it at the wrong time of day, and, you know, you're sitting on it for a couple of hours. Okay, one more, because this is really entertaining. CNBC, 10 states that are the best place in America to land your dream job. Hashtag California doesn't make the list. Hashtag California struggles. How about this? One more. Okay, I promise. One more. It's in a bus. Find someone who also can't afford rent alone. It won't be hard. What it's like dating in the Bay Area. Hashtag California struggles. but I mean, like, this is out of it's a group in Phoenix, Greater Phoenix Economic Council. You guys, 17,000 followers on Twitter. 17,000 followers on Twitter. This is not some awkward guy in a cubicle that's tweeting at a few hundred people. 17,000 people like this Twitter page, hashtag California struggles. The branding is hilarious. Rising avocado prices. Hashtag things that give me anxiety. Hashtag California struggles. Oh, okay. When two cats have a nicer place than you. Hashtag California struggles. Landlord rents $1,500 studio to two cats. Hits peak Silicon Valley. Lower your expectations when apartment hunting in the Bay Area. Hashtag California, California struggles. The Batman slapping the guy in the face comic book. You've seen that picture on social media. I can afford to live in the Bay Area. Pitch, reality. Oh, man. But seriously, it's there are some of these kind of cheeky, funny, kind of sassy ones. But if you look at what cities did to even get Amazon HQ2 to come, and you know if you've been listening to this show for a while, I'm hopefully very balanced and very, very cautious about those kind of big projects. They can be an absolute winner for a city. They can also drive it into the ground short term. And we've seen stories of both, right? That's not a pro-business, anti-business stance. You look at what happened when Indianapolis did all the work they did to get United Airways headquarters there. They handed the bag over. And United Airways said, "No, that's great. After a few years, we really can't stay here. Bye-bye." And those are the kind of situations that can really set a city back. You can also have winners like Microsoft, right? Which I know is more of a it started in Seattle and grew out of the region. A couple of guys who really wanted to make a go of it there. Starbucks is the same. So maybe those are bad examples. But I think you have to have a balanced approach. And there's a lot of research around some of the pitfalls that cities still don't realize exist around a lot of those incentives and subsidies for big companies and big corporations. You just have to be careful. But you look at what, and honestly, this is funny, the city of Detroit did. Detroit did a whole media and marketing hashtag campaign, and they did a 3.5-minute video. Maybe I'll get that to Bob to play in the next segment, because it's really kind of exciting. I might do that. I'll give you a picture of what we're talking about. They did this Moves the World campaign. Move to Detroit, move the world, right? Hashtag move the world. And they did these campaigns around establishing what the brand is of the city. And I have to say, in light of that, You know, I think we can all admit that the saguaro idea that we did didn't go over as well. And so when I look at these things, I think about what could you do in Tucson, right? Tucson's not in a position to do a hashtag California struggles, but what's our version of it, right? If we're going to set up a kind of a hashtag that can bring the community together around a common idea, what would that be? Got my juices going. I don't have a ton of great answers yet, but I thought that this was a funny example of an initiative out of Phoenix, as it turns out. It gets a lot of press. What would ours be in Tucson? By the way, two comments before we go to break. I think when you look at hashtag California struggles, CA struggles, when you look at, and we'll listen to it when we come back, Detroit's Move the World campaign, what you see is a campaign that encompasses live, work, and play, is the best way I can explain it. In other words, why would you want to live? Why would you want to work? And why would you want to recreate? My feeling right now in Tucson, and this is not being negative about any other projects happening, it's just an observation, is that a lot of our marketing campaigns still rely around the recreational part, right? If you think about what we pump out to the rest of the world about Tucson, it's not stuff to me that if you're a business, you'd go, gotta be there, I'm gonna move tomorrow. It's not really something that if you're an individual, you're like, gotta be there in a week. If you wanna come and play and recreate and hang out in the sun, we have that base covered, I think, and we do a really good job doing that. But I'm not sure that our marketing speaks to the living, the working, and the recreating. And I think we have to cover all three. I'll give you an example of that when we come back from the break. We'll listen to that video and we'll see if we can do it. If not, I'll explain it and we'll work from there.
You actually don't have another break. You've gone so fast, sir.
What?
You used up both your breaks.
Well, not to worry. We have more than we can talk about in an hour. Do you have that up, Bob? Do you have that Moves the World video?
Is this it?
Let me see here. Yep, that's it. That's it. And I think you'll get the gist of it even though you can't see it. Let's just push through and play it.
When you've been a leader your entire life, you learn how to turn one day into day one. To do it first, to be an innovator, means you may stumble, you may fall, but relentless, you will move forward. Detroiters are born moving. Our wings have a deep history. Our roads pave the way for every future highway of tomorrow. An international hub full of vitality, of Michigan strength, from the global reach of techno and Motown to the powerful rev of our engines. From style trends to technology, Detroit is the starting line of the world's imagination. We are always shaping, moving, cultivating what's next. We are small business savvy and billion-dollar business bold. A state full of 230-foot pine trees and the summer destination of the monarch butterfly. Surrounded by the beauty of Great Lakes. Detroit is always growing, always in flight. We don't wait for someone else to do it. We don't have time to stand still. Not everyone will understand our pace, but the baton was placed in our hands, so we're finishing strong. If this is home, you own the pearl. If you move here, you move the world. Who else to design the mobility of tomorrow besides the most resilient people on the planet? From custom-made bikes and shiny rims, autonomous vehicles and alternative energy, mobility as a right in diverse cultural communities. Our land, the foundation of collective steel Michigan hands, holding up families, designing possibility, creating space. We are the solutionaries, forging our way toward the answers, a sacred historical place, fearlessly stepping up to the plate. We are infinite possibility, and our future can't wait. Detroiters have always kept this country moving. Our DNA connected to a passionate work ethic and authenticity we earn from grandfathers and free-thinking mothers we watch with hard hat and toolbox swagger sculpt art into dinner for our families. Born on an assembly line of artists, thinkers, educators, scientists, coaches, and philanthropists, we are Southern class and clean Cadillacs, humility and matter of fact. We are a century-old farmer's market, the heart and soul of this country's future, the steady sound of design and innovation, and a whole other country is just a bridge away. Dream Chasers built Detroit. This is the world city. Design here, design the world. Build here, you'll build the world. Create here, create the world. Move here, move the world.
Right, so that's a 3.5 minute video. Go ahead and if you want to see the visuals behind it, although I think the music and the words do a great job, just go search Move the World. Now, a couple of things that are interesting here to point out. First of all, I like to say this because I think it applies to Tucson. Did you catch how long it took into the video to get to, oh yeah, our nature and outdoors are great? Right, and it was a 10-second slice of a 3.5-minute video. And then the rest of the way, it was innovation, move first, create the future, move here. You know, we're open to the small business person, the billion-dollar club. You know, I mean, just, and this was a musician out of Detroit who did this, who can kind of do the spoken word, right? So if you felt that kind of vibe, that's why you felt it. It went from here's what we are, here's what we want to be. Now, right, this was a few years ago as Amazon HQ2 was looking to relocate. This was a marketing and a branding campaign. It was so interesting that Doug, one of our callers, called in and said, look, Zach, you're talking about Detroit. Here's some problems on the horizon, right? No one is going to pretend that Detroit has it figured out, right? In fact, it still feels like the list of what's not going great in Detroit is longer than what is, stereotypically. So no one is bluffing here. But notice how much of this is aspirational, right? I think about Tucson in somewhat of the same light. We were the first university in the Arizona Territory, right? Tucson had the electric streetcar system in 1906 before Chicago did. TIA was the first municipally owned airport. Between Tucson and Phoenix, right? Tucson was the capital first, and then Phoenix. Tucson is the longest continually farmed land in North America, dating back 4,000 years. Farmed by first peoples, right? We think of Tucson as not a place of firsts. I beg to differ. In fact, I would say that we've maybe given up that innovation. We've given up that brand. We've given ourselves a different storyline, but it's not the storyline that we started with, right? So these kind of campaigns are not lies to yourself or to anybody. I think it's okay to be aspirational, but to think about what is the narrative of your community. And I think our narrative right now in Tucson is very, very a slim slice of what is possible and what is here. Tucson has a history of firsts, of innovation, creativity, renaissance, renewal. Our history defines our future, and that future is around the corner. Our potential is greater than we know. Your big idea lives here. What an opportunity to start to think about some of those terms, some of those ideas, for even just engaging those who are currently here or are diaspora. And again, this is not a blatant critique, but I think we had the opportunity to do something like that, and we sent a saguaro. You know what I'm saying? We had the opportunity to envision, to brand, to shape our community in a way that says, if you have a big idea, if you want to move the world, move to Tucson, right? And someone took that. We sent a saguaro. I think we've got a ways to go. This is an important conversation to have. Other cities are winning the game. We're behind. And so I think it's why it's been fun to talk about this, but not just fun, but I think also practical. 790-2040. Let me know what you think. This is really on the top of my mind right now. And it started with Louis Christensen on Monday. He brought some of these facts to the table, literally here. And I was amazed when you look back at Tucson's history It's messy. It's nuanced. You can't whitewash it, so to speak. And I don't mean that word in terms of race or ethnicity, even though you could. That's not what I'm saying right now. I'm saying you can't just ignore the complexity of our history. But there are some things here that really put us in the lead, put us in front. And we've given that up. We've given up our ability and our desire to move the needle. That was our decision. That was our choice. And I think in the same way, we have the opportunity to make the decision and to make the choice to move the needle on moving the needle. So I thought that would be interesting. Real quick, before we go, we are just a few minutes away from Tony Ford jumping in the studio with us. But I thought it was really interesting to see Tim Steller here as we're about a week out on the mayor's race. I don't know if that was why the timing was in place or not, but he published an opinion article, and I actually commented on it. I said, thank you for writing this, because I broadly agree, and I've been saying this for a long time on this program. But just how big annexations are an unrealistic solution for Tucson. And I've been saying this for a while, and it just gave me a time to say it again. We get tempted by the short-term SSR, right? The short-term state shared revenue. We add more land, we add more people, we get more money. But we forget that once we get that short-term boost, then we have people and geography to cover with our public safety, our public services, our infrastructure. When we talk about annexation, we're talking about, have we been able to take care of our home first before we add a room? Right? I think that's the metaphor that comes to mind for me. In Tucson, it seems like instead of fixing the house, we want to add a room. And my opinion is, until we can prove to ourselves that we don't lose police on a daily basis, that our parks are in good shape across the board, all 100 and was it 120, that our infrastructure is on point. In my opinion, until we prove that we can get that right, we shouldn't even be having the annexation conversation, right? Because if we're looking at it from a point of getting more people here, you know what's going to bring more people to Tucson? The diaspora. Keep people in Tucson that are thinking about leaving. Those mid-level executives who exodused out of our community between 2012 and 2017, you know what brings them back into city limits for state shared revenue? Parks, roads, cops, jobs, opportunity, right? We should be having the density conversation before we have the annexation conversation. We should be having the conversation how we do infill well before we add more land. We're not having the right conversation about this. And check out the article from Tim Steller. It's funny, there's a line in there he got heat about, and he instantly said, yeah, that one I need to fix. That one was not. So, I mean, it's not a perfect article, and I don't stand by every single word. Probably important to throw that out there, right? But I thought it was a really interesting angle on the topic, and I've been hearing this brought up in the mayor's race for months now, and I haven't been personally satisfied by too many of the responses, I'll be honest, because it's all, hey, it sounds good. Add more people, get more money. But there's no math that's done, right? Look 20 years down the road. Does the math of what you get match the amount of money you're going to have to spend to keep it up? Simple math. No one does it. Cities around the country are doing it. And you know what, friends? They're actually de-annexing. They're actually saying, wait a second, we lose money. We don't gain money. We lose money, right? We're making $2,000 in tax off of XYZ home. Costs $2,500 to keep it up. Keep the roads going out there, keep the cops, keep the fire, keep the infrastructure, keep the parks. We got to do the math. Let's do math. Let's think harder. I thought that was interesting. All right, I'm on a roll. It's probably good we have 30 seconds left, because I get to transition now to hour two of the program. We'll take a 5-minute break. When we come back, Tony Ford jumps on in the studio with me. We're going to talk about tech in Tucson. We're going to talk about why the boom in our tech workforce and what that all means for Tucson. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're on 1030 The Voice. This has been the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. See you in a minute.